Father, thank you for your word. It's a treasure trove. Mm. And Lord, we need to dig some out sometimes, Lord. Pray your Holy Spirit will help us as we come to this amazing book, Lord. Grant us your light and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Letter to the Hebrews. Well, we can start with the very first bit. Who is it written to? Hebrews, who are Jewish people. Right? But these are Jewish believers, though, he's writing to. We call them Messianic now, but that's what they are, right? So that's the start. It's written to the Hebrews. You may have a very old King James version which says the letter of Paul to the Hebrews. But it's most unlikely not Paul, because the style, for whatever that means, isn't Paul's style. You read it, it doesn't read like one of Paul's letters, for example. So we've got a problem as to who wrote it. The point being is, it doesn't matter really. It's in the scriptures. The church, the early church, obviously felt this was an important and inspired letter, so they included it. So we can leave that problem till later on. You can ask Paul when you see him. Did he write it? And he'll probably say no. And then he'll tell you who did. Right, and the answer will be there for you at last. So you go to the end now, right to the end of chapter 13. It's written to the Hebrews, but which Hebrews are we talking about? Well, there's possibly a little clue in the very one, the next to the last verse 24. And here are greetings. You know how they send greetings at the end of the letter? Yeah. Greetings to all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Now, the guess is that a group of Roman believers, Italian, we call them now, aren't we? Group of Italian believers wanted to be remembered to their folks back in Italy. That's the guess. So it's written to Rome. That's the idea. Yeah? So the letter to the Hebrews is written to the Jewish believers in Rome. Now then, you need to know a little bit of the history behind what's going on. Paul's letter to the Romans was written a good deal earlier than this.
Surely that phrase would also support the fact that it was written by Paul when he was in Italy, back to Jerusalem.
Those from Italy send you their greetings. Well, it could do, but the idea is that the people who are sending their greetings are with him now. I see what you mean, yes, but the drift of it is, it's possibly, as I say, these are all conjectures. conjectures, yes? Now, if it is written to the Jewish believers in Rome, why is it written to half the church? Well, one of the interesting things is, if it was written after the letter to the Romans, because Romans doesn't mention anything about persecution. It talks quite a lot about all sorts of other things, but persecution really doesn't enter into it. The letter to the Hebrews deals with how to cope with persecution. Paul wrote his letter. After Paul, there was a Roman emperor, Nero, around at the time. What did Nero do? Fiddled while Rome burned, and who did he blame it for? Who blamed it on? The Christians. The Christians took the blame. Now, the interesting thing was, Christians in those days, and this is also before the time of the temple's destruction, AD 70. So we know it was written before AD 70, because he's talking about temple rituals still continuing in the letter. So it's still going on while he's writing, yeah? So it's before AD 70. So we've got it between 50 and 70. That's as close as it can get. But during that period, Nero is having his fun at persecuting Christians. Now, there's Jewish believers in the church there. There were Gentile believers and Jewish believers, as Paul wrote to them. But the Jews had an escape route. Because at that point in time, it wasn't always the case, but at that point in time, it was okay to be a Jew. Yeah? Synagogues, acceptable. Yeah? Keep your head down, don't cause any trouble, you're all right. Okay, so it's okay to be a Jew. But being a Christian, you're in trouble. And the danger was that the Jewish Christians could avoid persecution by going back to the synagogue. The only problem with going back to the synagogue was you had to deny that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the crunch bit. And so the letter to the Hebrews, it keeps saying it, don't go back, don't go back. And that's the drift of it. So that makes sense of what's going on there. You got the idea? Yeah. So we're talking about a group of believers. They know Jesus is Messiah. They believe the Bible. And so the writer to the Hebrews is trying to encourage them to stay faithful to Jesus, come what may.
So what about the letter that's referred to in verse 22? Where he says, brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter.
That's it. That's the letter to the Hebrews.
I would call that short letter.
Well, you see, that's because you've got TV and you've got all these distractions.
Yeah.
They could sit down and read a letter. I agree it's a long letter, but he calls it short. What he does mean, I think, is a preacher. He could say, I could have said a lot more, but I'm bold in fire. That's, I think, what it's about.
He's not referring to another letter.
No, I don't think so, no.
That's what I'm saying, I'm imagining that's me, letters to New Zealand, because I used to
write
about 6 AM hours
when
I got
round
to it.
Right. One more thing. He's writing to Jewish believers. They know their Bibles. And if you're going to look at Hebrews, you need to be acquainted reasonably well with the Old Testament. Because there are references all the time to Old Testament teachings. Yes. So that's where we start. One more thing I've got to say before we get into it. The Jews, as opposed to all the pagans in the world, had a very exalted view of God. Naturally, because God is very exalted and he revealed himself to them. They had a very exalted view of God, so much so that it all almost came to the point where God is out there and doesn't have any dealings with men. And how did God get between himself and men was through, for the Jewish mind, angels.
Oh.
Angels. They're the intermediaries. We read it as
yeah.
Stephen says in his martyrdom speech, the law was given through angels. Yes, the angels were part of the means of giving the word. And angels appeared, and angels spoke to Abraham and others like that. So, and to what Jacob, of course. So, the angels are intermediaries between God and men.
Yeah.
That's it almost came to angel worship in places. That's the danger, right? So, the writer to the Hebrews, he's going to have to deal with some of the issues that the Jews were more prone to. Yeah. So we start in Hebrews chapter 1, he's by saying is, don't go back because Jesus is better than all the other stuff that you've left behind. So verse 1, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That's verse 1.
Yeah.
In the past, that's Old Testament times, is what he means. Yeah. In the past, God spoke in what way?
In various ways.
At different times, different ways. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Yeah? But, it's bitty. Bit of this, bit of that, bit there, bit more, and so on. In these days, right, in the past, God gave bits of information, is what he's saying. Yes. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. You got the idea?
Yeah.
So God has spoken in the past, but now you're getting the clear message from one person rather than bits, bobs and things through prophets and all the other bits. Yeah. So Jesus is, and a donkey too, yes. So Jesus is a superior communication from God. Yeah. The others are good. I'm not decrying that.
Yeah.
But if you want a really serious communication, they go to the Son. And he doesn't prove that Jesus is the Son of God, because they know he is. So we're not here to prove things, he's just using examples, as we'll come across, to demonstrate the point he's making. Yeah? Jesus is better. Yeah. He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Well,
there's
what's that?
There's some about Jesus being the radiance as well, isn't
it? Oh yes, yes. That's in Ephesians, yeah. We've got, he says here that Jesus, what did he do?
He made the universe. Yeah.
Right, so he's the creator. There's no problem with that. They accepted that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus is the creator. Yeah. But he's also, what's he also called? The heir of all things. So it's moving towards him taking it all.
But God's not going to die.
God's not going to die.
So his son doesn't ever inherit.
Now, the reason, that's a good question. Yes, the son does inherit, because it's not father-son relationship as we think of as human beings. Jesus has always been the son, eternally, and the father has always been the father, eternally. That's not human. How you get your head around that? I have no problem. Jesus combines deity and humanity. That's the wonderful thing, because we're coming to this point, you'll see later on, it's quoted in these letters here. When God made the universe and the world, he made the angels, and then he made the earth and all the creatures, and he made man at the head of the creation there. But man is under the angels. What happens is that when Jesus becomes man, he goes below the angels and he raises man above the angels. Because we are seated with him now in heavenly places. Someone suggested that might have been one of the reasons why Satan got miffed. Because he had the top job and all of a sudden he sees it being taken from him. I don't know. But there you are, that's a thought.
So when does this inheritance take place? When did Jesus inherit?
God is without time, isn't he? God created time for us to live in.
Yes, but we're going to experience all these blessings in the new heavens and the new earth. It's part of the kingdom now, but more to come. We are heirs with Christ.
Jesus
is the heir, it says.
He's got it.
He had it from the beginning.
But as a man, he inherits, because he was exalted in glory.
When he
rose from the dead and ascended into heaven.
Yeah.
Swing wide the gate, let the king come in. That psalm? The glory. He gets the glory when he's achieved it. We've looked at this in Philippians. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place. That's called inheritance, if I think of anything critical of it,
So he wasn't that high before.
Yes.
He became man.
Yes, he was.
He took humanity up to the highest place. All of that. He made it all. He made it all. We wrecked it. He came to fix it, and he's got it back.
He's at the right hand side of the Father.
And he's at the right hand of the Father. The administrator. That's what he's the chief executive.
He had to be man to be able to take it back.
He came down and be man.
But we're only on verse 2, it shouldn't be a long time. It's only a short letter, remember. Anyway, never mind. He appointed him heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Now, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Again, he's really saying is, if you want to know what God's like, you look at Jesus. He's rephrasing the words that Jesus said. Philip, he who's seen me, seen the Father. So Jesus is the radiance, the shining out. If you want to know what God's like, Jesus is it. He shows you. The exact representation of his being. So he's not an idol, he's the real thing. And then the other thing is, sustaining all things by his powerful word. This is some person, this Jesus,
That's enough to keep you busy.
Yes. Sustaining keeps you busy, I'm so glad he's God, because I would have run out after two things to do at once. He's running the whole thing at once, sustaining everything by his powerful word. Now, that's a very precious thought. Your next heartbeat is thanks to Jesus. Your next breath is thanks to Jesus. He sustains everything by his powerful word. He created it by his powerful word. He keeps it going by his powerful word. And his powerful word is going to say, time's up, one day. And it's all going to be changed. It's good, isn't it? Our Lord? So he's trying to persuade these Jewish people who are wavering, saying, don't throw away the best for something less. That's what we're getting at. Jesus is the tops. And so he's comparing now, he's going for that important issue that the Jewish believers had of how the angels fit in. Yeah? And so he's doing a comparison now between Jesus and the angels. So verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Yeah. Son of man, glorified, he's above the angels. Yes? Mm-hmm. So don't think about the angels, think about Jesus, and you'll be alright. Well, angels have their uses, you'll see, but one moment, right?
So yes, we have they're not omnipotent or omnipresent, are they?
They can't be, no. They are creatures, yeah.
Yes, as we are, yeah.
They have serious limits. I mean, they're powerful, but they have serious limits, compared to God, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, he draws some verses out of the Psalms, mostly, and there are he quotes these verses, not to try and prove things in the sense, but to demonstrate that the basic understanding in their time of these verses was they were messianic. I don't know if you're aware of that, but quite a lot of the Psalms, yeah. They were written by people in their time, yeah. About their situations,
yeah.
We'll look at what the details are, but in their situations. But when you read these Psalms, you think, that's bigger than them.
Yeah.
And the old rabbis came to understand this. They were messianic. It wasn't just about David or Solomon or something like that. This is seriously bigger than David or Solomon ever were.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Messiah is what they got to. Yeah. Right, so, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I become your father? Did he say that to any angels?
No,
you won't find it in the Bible either. No. Yeah. Today I become your son. God said that to who?
To Jesus.
To Jesus. That's one of them.
Yeah.
There are various alternative thoughts about this, about him becoming the Son. Yeah. There's one in Romans. It says he, as in chapter 1, according to his human nature, he was a descendant of David, mm-hmm. But according to the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God. Yes. Yeah. And when was that? That was at his resurrection. Yeah.
Yeah.
So God can declare at his baptism,
yes.
This is my son,
yes.
Yeah, starting his ministry.
Yes.
At the end, this is my son, yeah, as he is risen from the dead. Yeah. And some have said even, it could have been said right at the beginning, before the creation, Father says, you're my son. But anyway, he never said it to any angels.
No.
You got the point. Jesus is better. Yeah. Didn't say it to the angels, said it to Jesus. Then we have this one, and again.
Yeah.
So he knows his verses. Interestingly, he doesn't tell you where they come from.
Mm.
Why doesn't he?
They knew
him.
Yeah.
They knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could quote verse by verse, and they could tell him where it was if he wanted to, I suppose. Yeah. Mm. Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. Where did that come from?
Nowhere.
Reference C, from Samuel. 2 Samuel 7:14.
Yeah.
Who's he referred to in the first place? I will be his father and he shall be my son. Who was the first reference to? It was to Solomon. David made a promise to David that one of his descendants would sit on his throne. Yeah? I'll be his father, he'll be my son. Yeah? But you know Solomon didn't quite fulfill all that he was meant to be. Yeah? And obviously the writers understood it that he'd be on his throne forever. Well, Solomon died, yeah? So it's bigger than Solomon.
Yeah.
So they understood it as being about the Messiah. So he's quoting it. It's Messiah they're talking about. I will be his father, he'll be my son. Yeah. So he points him to be a king and a ruler. That's what it's about. And again, another verse. When God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Where's that come from?
Deuteronomy 32:5.
And other places, yes.
Psalm 97
as well. When God brings his firstborn, now I just want to think about for one moment this word firstborn, because again we have problems with it because of our human perspective. When the Bible calls Jesus God's firstborn, what does it mean? That he's had a load of other kids?
No.
We're adopted.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The reason I'm saying this is Jehovah's Witnesses use that he was the firstborn of all creation. It's in Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the firstborn of all creation.
Mm-hmm.
Almost it sounds like he was the first creature that was made.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jehovah's Witness teaching.
All right.
God made Jesus, Jesus made everything else.
Oh, well.
Yeah? Yeah, that's how they see it, yeah? Because they use the word firstborn meaning made first.
Oh, right.
But the word firstborn has a lot more meaning than made first. What was one of the characteristics of the firstborn is he's the heir. Yes, that's what it's about. He's the heir. Right? Jesus wasn't born God's son, he was always God's son, but he is the heir of all creation. Right, so he's sorry?
Should Christians leave their estates to the firstborn child?
Should they? Well, that's changed now, isn't it, of course? Yeah, you share it out now if I were you. Yeah, yeah. Saves arguments later on.
Yeah, if that was adopted only to keep these big estates in the family, if they split them up, the estates would eventually disintegrate.
But it's in the Bible.
The customs of the Bible don't necessarily what meaning you have to follow. You're not supposed to go and gather sticks on the Sabbath.
No.
Yeah? I don't suppose you have you? You killed that one. You got the idea though, what I'm saying is that,
what is custom and what is the case? I mean, we are all heirs now, aren't we, of course? And in Christ he says there's neither male nor female. Gentile.
We're not the first one.
So Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brothers, we're told.
Yeah.
It comes later in Hebrews, yes. Yeah.
We're joint heirs.
Yeah. We're joint heirs with him. Yeah. So you've got a handle on being the firstborn as well. Through faith in Jesus. Anyway, that's another story. Where have we got to? Yes. Let all God's angels worshiping. And in speaking of angels, he makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. Where's that come from? Psalm 104, verse 4. He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. What's that saying about angels and how they can appear? They can appear in all sorts of shapes and sizes, it would seem. Yes. That's what he's getting at. Angels, you can't nail them down, you know. They can change. And they do, don't they? Some of them turn up as just ordinary people. And others with all wings and stuff like this, you know. Well, what does an angel look like?
Anyone
who
saves me, saves an angel.
Right, isn't that nice? Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember Nelly? Dear Nelly.
Yeah.
The Lord blessed her in so many ways. And she saw angels, you know. Uh-huh. And we had some visiting friends from Northern Ireland. And Nelly's just talking away to them and said to them, what do your angels look like? Assuming that everybody saw angels, you know.
Were they 50 feet tall? She
pretty big, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Because airline pilots have affirmed, Russian and American airline pilots have affirmed to seeing angels 50 feet tall.
Have they? Yeah. Yes. That's amazing. How would you get a 50-foot angel into a room that's only 10 foot high? Somehow they affect space. But the thing about Jesus is, you meet Jesus, it's Jesus, nothing else, no alternatives, no variations, Jesus is Jesus. Okay? It's good, eh?
Yeah.
Not like the angels. He makes his angels winds and angels servants of flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Yeah, so he says about the Son, your throne, O God, how about that, will last forever. So his kingdom is going to be an eternal kingdom. It's unchanging. That's the point. Angels change and alter a bit, but God's kingdom won't change. Not with the Son. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. So he's ruling in righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And again, who's that? Where's that quote from? Psalm 45. It's a wedding psalm. A wedding psalm for Solomon. Yeah? A wedding psalm, I think it's a wedding psalm. Is it 45? I don't remember numbers very well. Well, it might say that, but I think you'll find out there's a...
Psalm 45, verse 67.
Sorry?
Psalm 45.
Yes? Yeah, but what's the note at the beginning of Psalm 45? The Hebrews put notes in it. Psalm 45, it will say a wedding psalm. I'm sure it does. I'm sure.
The Lord's chosen one.
Yeah, wedding song. Yeah.
Yeah, wedding song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Celebrating the.
Queen of the lilies.
Yeah.
Sons of Korah, masculine wedding song.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's about Solomon. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
in his glory. But bigger than Solomon. Not bigger than Solomon. Your throne, O God, last forever. Lighted. I mean, his throne didn't last forever, did it? But Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Well, we can't say that about Solomon by the end of his days, can we?
No.
So God set you above your companions, right, anointing you. So he's higher than the angels, you'd say. We count angels as companions, yeah? So Jesus is higher than them.
Mm. Right?
Anointing you with the oil of joy, because he's fulfilled all the blessings. He's fulfilled all the things that Father wanted, yeah? Right, so he also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, who laid the foundations of the earth?
God.
In the beginning, O Lord. And who is the O Lord referring to there?
Oh,
yes, but it's messianic. They understand O Lord as Messiah as well. Yeah? In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. Well, did you know that? Yes?
The
heavens were the work of your hands. God made it.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus made it, yes?
Yeah.
Right? Now, what's going to happen to them?
Perish.
They will perish. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's all going. It's not here forever. We're going to, yes, it's all will pass away. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Yes. But the present one is going to pass away. But you remain, so he's eternal. Yeah. They wear out like a garment, and haven't we worn it out? Yeah. Wreck the earth. Yeah, but there we are, that's another story we can think about, yes. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. You've just gone to the wardrobe now. Roll them up when you finish with them. Take them off, yeah? That's what's going to happen to this creation.
Yeah,
that's all passing away. And maybe there's a little lesson for these people who are thinking about going back. You know, your problems now are big, but it's not going to last forever. This world's on its way out.
Mm-hmm.
So why not hang on in for the best bit, rather than throw it all away?
Yeah.
It's all going. It's all going. Yeah. That doesn't mean to say you shouldn't look after the world you've been given, by the way. Yeah, that's important. Yeah, we've got to look after it. Don't trash it. Yeah. You know, some of our evolutionary friends think that because we're creationists that we can go trashing the earth. Because it says man's in dominion over the earth. Yeah, well, dominion meant to look after it.
Yeah.
Not to trash. Yeah. Sorry?
Caretakers.
Caretakers, that's right, yes. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same and your years will never end. Oh, isn't that good?
Mm.
It all depends.
Mm.
What if I said to you, your years will never end?
Oh, God.
Not in this state, you say.
Yeah.
No, exactly. In other words, you're going to have to be transformed. That's the point, yeah. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Well, he didn't.
No.
But he says that to the Son.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to make the enemies a footstool for your feet? It's a reference back to the time of, well, regularly, but in the time of Joshua, when they defeated their enemies, what did he call on the commanders to do? Put their foot on the necks of their enemies. Yeah, make a footstool for their feet. Yeah, it wasn't to break their necks.
Yeah,
it's to show. I mean, you see these, not very good. You know these game hunters. They stand there with their rifle and their foot on top of some poor creature they've potted.
Yeah,
great, isn't it? Well, never mind, never mind. Yeah, but you got the idea. Anyway, Jesus is going to be the conqueror. That's the point. And then lastly, are not all angels ministering servants sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Yeah? How about that? What are angels doing? They're worshipping, that's their ministering angels, ministering spirits, yeah? They're worshippers, but what's their job?
To care for them.
They're to serve who?
To look after sheep again.
To look after God's people.
Oh,
to look after believers.
Yeah?
Yeah? So angels are your servants.
Yeah.
They're there to help you. And you know, they use the argument, you've got a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Don't go for one. I mean, you know, there are lots of angels. And they're there to minister for us, yeah? And let me just give you, well, you think of some Old Testament or New Testament examples where angels ministered to God's children to help them in situations. One psalm, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Yeah. Well, he's got his army surrounding his people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lovely one with...
Yeah.
A lovely one with... I can't remember, it's Elijah or Elisha.
No.
You know, I think it's Elisha. And he's in the city, and he opens the window in the morning, and outside are all these enemy troops who come to capture him.
Oh,
yeah. And his servant goes, "Ah, what are we going to do?"
Yeah.
And Elisha says, "Praise Lord, open his eyes." And he has a look, and he sees on the hilltops angels with chariots of fire and horses of fire.
Yeah.
And I think the servant thinks, "Oh, we're right for now, we're okay now, aren't we?" Because God sent his angels to protect him.
Yeah.
Elisha knew they were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but servant didn't get it, yeah? That's what.
Wasn't it said that when there was a 6-day war in Israel, that's exactly what the angels saw?
They saw some angels, yeah. But they don't necessarily be sort of shiny bright things,
no,
you know.
No.
Yeah. Paul Pilly quoted this one about they'd gone to some place in India, mm-hmm. and they'd gone to this village, and they'd been attacked, and they were told to come back. Someone came and picked him up, and says, lifted him up, chapped up. He says, "Come back in a month's time." And he got up and went to go to help his friend, and he turned around to see the guy to say thank you.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They went back a month or so later, and they preached the word, and people started believing. And they said, "Well, what happened? You know, what's changed?" Mm-hmm. He says, "It was all those soldiers, you know." Because
mm-hmm.
they all ran off
yeah.
mm-hmm. when they'd attacked them.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "All those soldiers," and they did inquiries all around, no soldiers anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So angels can turn up with
yes.
mm-hmm. AK-47s if they need to or whatever,
I suppose.
Sorry?
Did he do that in the wartime, the soldiers, they all got up and when they were going they came out the trenches and they went and they saw all these angels.
Did they?
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, those are stories in the modern days, but in the Old Testament, New Testament, Peter, when he was asleep in prison, he had to get an angel alarm clock.
Yeah.
Get him up and get him out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the angel was ministering to Peter, mm-hmm. and it happens all over the Old Testament. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're ministering spirits mm-hmm. sent to help us. Well, yeah, God's got his angels working for you. So, brothers and sisters, don't worship them. Use them.
Yeah.
Depend on God to provide and help through his angels ministering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've just got my little reference. I said that. My notes, you see there? Yeah? Right. We're back to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13. He says, "To which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand?" It's a quote from a psalm, is it not?
Psalm
110.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now Psalm 110 is a really important, because it's one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. But let's have a look at it. Psalm 110 verse 1. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Well, the writer to the Hebrews quoted that, didn't he? Yeah? Well, let me say, Jesus quotes it as well. Did you know that? Jesus quotes this verse. And it's in Matthew 24, verse 41. Four verses we look at. And with that we'll finish it. Yeah? Matthew 22, verse 41. "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, 'What do you think about the Messiah, the Christ? Whose son is he?'" So Jesus is asking the rabbis of his day, what's the general feeling, the general opinion about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they say, "The son of David." Everybody knew that, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So they say, yeah, the Messiah is the son of David. Mm-hmm. And Jesus comes up with this one. "How is it then? David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord. For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one had dared to ask him any more questions. Yes, stumped him. Stumped him from proper. Well, you know the answer. What's Jesus getting at is, Jesus, the Messiah, is the son of David. He's human. He's descended from David.
Mm-hmm.
But when David calls him Lord, he's not just human.
Yeah.
He's God's son as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So that verse incorporates the deity as well as the humanity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You got the idea? So if If someone turns up to you and says, well, he says, who's the Messiah? He's David's son. Well, how can he say he's Lord then? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, because he's David Lord, because he was there before David was. In fact, Jesus got nearly stoned for that one, if you remember, when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Ooh, that upset them badly.
Yeah.
We've not finished with the angels. We really ought to have done chapter 2 as well, but I thought we'd go easy on that one. We'll finish off, we won't finish off the angels, but we'll get to the... There's something just to say, in the letter to the Hebrews, when he's writing to these believers, he says to them, he tells them something about God's word, God's ways, God, and he's being, basically saying it's better to be a Christian. That's really what he's getting at. And he then, when he's told them that, he then says, now just watch it. Don't start drifting. Yeah? And then later on he tells them something, and he says, just watch it. Don't start worse than drifting. Start taking their sides. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it he says, don't go down the path of denying everything. Yeah, so he gives them bits of information and then he applies it. Information and applies it. Yeah. So I haven't given you the stick yet. That's to come next week. You get the stick next week. Lord willing, anyway. Right, we'll leave it at that. Just remember, you've got angels on your side and Jesus is better. Amen, eh?
Yeah.
Right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. You're a God that loves us, that's working out your plans for us, Lord. And Lord, we realise for some of our brothers and sisters in parts of the world where standing for Jesus, Lord, is a big thing. Lord, we pray for grace for them. They may stay true and faithful. Lord, it's that important. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we can see that Jesus really is amazing. Lord, you created everything, you keep us going, you provide help for us, you've got angels on our jobs for us as well, Lord. All these amazing blessings, Lord, why should we ever want to turn away? Lord, you're the Lord who's able to keep us from falling. Help us, we pray. Lord, may you have the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.